Gossip. Today's subject. It's delicious. It's tempting. And it can be fun. And if it is malicious or inappropriate gossip, it can be very damaging, even deadly. A couple of years ago, I saw a movie titled Gossip. Although I don't think it was a particularly good movie, it did get its point across. In it, some college kids decide to start a rumor about a female student they don't like. And as things begin to unfold, the rumor begins to intensify and spread like a wildfire, kind of like that hen story. And it takes on a life of its own, with new details being added at every step. Mark Twain put it this way: a rumor can travel halfway around the world before the truth can get its boots on. There's a wonderful old Jewish story about a woman who had been gossiping viciously about the rabbi in her village. In a moment of guilt, the gossiper went to the rabbi and confessed her misbehavior. She begged for his forgiveness, and he promised it. "I will forgive you," he said, "if you do this. Take your best feather pillow to the top of the highest hill in the area. There you must tear the pillow open and scatter its feathers to the four winds." "Is that all I need to do?" she asked. "No," said the rabbi. "Then you must go and gather every single feather. Such is the effect of your malicious words." It's like the tube of toothpaste. Once the words are out, they can't be drawn back in. Rumor and gossip, perhaps because they're so tempting to engage in, do tend to spread rapidly. And they often become exaggerated on the journey outward, sometimes causing irreparable damage to someone's reputation or to relationships. The first definition in my dictionary states that gossip is rumor or talk of a personal, sensational, or intimate nature. The word today carries a negative connotation as something at best naughty and at worst malicious, but that was not always the case. Gossip was once a word for a woman, especially one past middle age. The word comes from God Sib, believe it or not, a sibling or relation of the gods. In ancient times, it was a term of respect for elder women. In the Christian era, it came to refer to a godmother. And to this day in parts of England, gossip refers to a godparent. But it has clearly changed in meaning. Here's what gossip means to most of us today, as defined in the words of this anonymous poem I found some years ago. "Gossip, remember me? My name is Gossip. I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts and ruin lives. I am cunning and malicious and gather strength with age. The more I am quoted, the more I am believed. I flourish at every level of society. My victims are helpless. They cannot protect themselves against it or against me because I have no name and no face. To track me down is impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I am nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, it is never the same. I topple governments and wreck marriages. I make innocent people cry in their pillows. My name is Gossip." We are so devoted to this little beast in our modern culture that we've made an industry of it. There's the gossip columnist who gets paid to dig up the dirtiest dirt. There are whole magazines and newspapers devoted to gossip, from the fairly innocuous People magazine to the damaging and sensationalist tabloids like The Inquirer. Certain TV shows revel in gossip. People want to know the scuttlebutt. Who's sleeping with whom? Who's breaking up with whom? Who has been caught cheating on whom? Who got fired and why? And so on. Why do we indulge in gossip? Why is it so tantalizing? Perhaps, for one thing, it provides people with a vicarious way of transgressing moral codes. Of course, I wouldn't do that, but isn't it interesting that that scoundrel John did this? Interpersonal gossip can also make us feel important. Wow, someone is sharing this delectable tidbit with little old me. I remember an old childhood jingle my circle of friends used to use to taunt each other. Perhaps you remember something like this. They would chant, "I know something you don't know." We would sing it when we knew a secret about someone who usually wasn't present at the time. I know something you don't know, and knowledge, after all, is power. Of course, talk about someone else without that person being present happens all the time, nor is it necessarily a bad thing. It is a way to keep up with the goings-on in a community. The mild form of gossip that takes place in a community is often an exchange of trivial details about people's lives. In fact, there's another word to unpack. One of the definitions in my dictionary states that that gossip is actually trivial, chatty talk, or writing. And that word, trivial, is the word to unpack here. That also has an enlightening history. It comes from the Latin, tres via, which meant the marketplace, literally where three roads come together, tres via. This is where people met to exchange goods and to exchange information, to exchange trivia, gossip. And this information can be useful, for example, to learn that someone is ill or someone has just had a baby. These kinds of facts can be important to the ongoing life of a community. Also, a recent study at Stanford concluded that gossip, and sometimes even negative and critical gossip, can have a beneficial effect on a community. People who are disruptive to a group can be ostracized by gossip, which allows the group to function better. And sometimes those who are ostracized, so the study found, come back to the group and begin to behave in a more productive way to avoid being critical gossip fodder. But gossip can also turn destructive to the group and to the gossipee. It can break the implicit trust that people place in one another. I remember once telling a friend of a personal struggle I was having and taking for granted that friend's confidence. But soon after, I heard that personal information repeated back to me by someone else. Thankfully, the one who heard it from my friend came directly to me, saying that it seemed rather, as she put it, private and gossipy. Something that maybe shouldn't be spread around. I was very grateful to her and rather miffed at my friend, although he said that he had told certain people because he thought they could be helpful. His intentions were good, but that is not what I wanted from him at the time. I simply wanted his ear, not his busy mouth. Despite the dictionary definitions, what constitutes gossip is hard to define. Is it just reporting on people's lives? Is that what gossip is? For example, so-and-so is fed up and is looking for a new job. X threatened to sue Y. So-and-so has filed for divorce, and so on. People magazine abounds in this kind of factual scuttlebutt. When gossip is defined as idle talk which may or may not be true, and which may sully a reputation or hurt an individual, then we're in tabloid territory. And when people or the media pass on this kind of gossip, there are many, unfortunately, who hear or read it and conclude that if people are talking so much about it, or if it appears in print or on the internet, then it must be true. Absolutely true. Gossip can be downright malevolent, and people sue each other or sue the media for slander and malicious intent for this kind of gossip. Though negative gossip is hard to define exactly to capture all instances, I believe that most of us know intuitively when we are engaging in it. Ogden Nash once wrote, "There are two kinds of people who blow through life like a breeze, and one kind is gossipers, and the other kind is gossipies." I would bet that every one of us, at one time or another, has blown through life on the shaky wings of gossip, either and probably both as gossiper and gossipy. It's all too human to indulge in this pastime. As Barbara Walters once said, "Show me someone who never gossips, and I'll show you someone who isn't interested in people." So we all engage in gossip. But how do we know when it might be damaging or hurtful? This, too, I believe, we have an intuitive sense about much of the time. Many years ago, I gave a series of sermons on the seven deadly sins. I called it the Sin of the Month Club, one a month. And you know those old favorites, greed, envy, lust, gluttony, pride, sloth, and anger. During that series, rather than moralistically advising totally refraining from these sins, I raised a question that one might ask oneself before deciding to indulge in one of these occupations. The question is simple. Whom can it hurt? Well, perhaps that question can be raised before indulging in gossip. Gossip is not one of the seven deadlies, but it is a temptation. So before we whisper that juicy tidbit about someone, perhaps we should pause to ask ourselves, who will be hurt if I pass this on? Sometimes the person most hurt is the one passing on the gossip. As Abigail Van Buren once said, it's almost impossible to throw dirt on someone without getting a little on yourself. If we ask ourselves whom the gossip can hurt and we decide that the person being talked about could be hurt, or even that he or she just might not want the information passed on, or that it might be unbecoming to us to be seen as one who talks about another in this way, then it is clear that the higher moral ground to stand on is to refrain from passing the information on. We have to be especially careful in these days of instant electronic communication. It's very easy to copy a juicy email message and with the push of a button, send it on to hundreds of people on our email lists. Rumors of many sorts make their way around the internet these days. They are like the mischievous electronic viruses that we're all so concerned about. But these are viruses of our collective soul. As I mentioned last week, one of my roles in our Unitarian Universalist denomination has been serving as a member of a district conflict management team for some 20 years. That team is no more. Now the district staff take on what we had done. But during that time that I served on this team, actually Doug is sitting here. He was on the original team as well, Doug Sprague. Five of us from this district were on the team. And we're trained along with five others from the district to the north of us and to the south of us. Well, during the time that I was on that team, I had witnessed the damage that rumors and gossip can do in a congregation. We on that team analyzed congregational conflict using a model that breaks conflict into five levels, from a simple problem to solve, up all the way up to an intractable conflict in which the parties finally call in the lawyers. It is noteworthy that in all but the very lowest level of conflict, rumors and gossip can run rampant, from two all the way up to five. Gossip can break groups into we and they factions that may refuse to talk directly to one another. And this can get, as you can imagine, ugly very quickly. And it can be quite painful for the entire congregation. Conflict, as I said last night, is a part, an inevitable part of congregational life. So we must be vigilant in keeping our communication as open as possible and speak of our disagreements directly with those with whom we disagree. One of the remedies that we conflict consultants brought to conflicted situations is a structured kind of truth-telling, face-to-face communication, which can help stop the toxic spread of rumor and gossip. One of the gossip-busting methods that we teach is these four simple steps for dealing with concerns, criticisms, or conflicts that you hear expressed by someone about someone else. If someone comes to you with a criticism or issue about someone else, these simple gossip-busting steps can be followed. Step one, ask the person who is passing to you the concern, have you spoken to him or her directly about this? If the person is not willing to speak directly to the other, go on to the next step. Say to that person, if you're not comfortable speaking with him or her directly by yourself, would you like me to go with you when you speak to him or her? If that is not comfortable, try the next step. Step three, ask, would you like me to go and tell him or her how you feel? Now, you make it clear in doing this that you would be using the person's name. There's no anonymity in this process. People must be willing to own what they are saying. Step four, if the gossiper is still unwilling, then you just do not act on the criticism or feedback, and you don't pass it on. It's a way to get rid of anonymous gossip that just takes on a life of its own. You might be surprised how effective these little steps are for controlling the gossip and the rumors that run out of control when people pass on information and issues they have with someone or some group without ever having to take responsibility for what they are saying. If we let it, gossip can leave its nasty footprints all over our lives and the lives of those we gossip about. But if we first ask that important question, whom can it hurt, before listening to and passing on gossip, and if we try to be a force to foster direct communication rather than behind-the-back chatter, we will have done our part to prevent the scars that the tempting indulgence of gossip is capable of creating. We will have done our part to tip the scales of the universe toward goodwill and away from malice, toward understanding and away from fear, toward acceptance and away from suspicion, toward truth and away from falsehood, toward love and away from hatred and prejudice. Over 2,500 years ago, a man called Gautama the Buddha taught a moral code known as the Eightfold Path. One of the eight tenets of Buddhism is right speech, which means not just refraining from lying and deceit, but speaking with care and with charity. Refraining from hurtful practices like negative gossip, slander, abuse, belittling, tactlessness, and joking at someone's expense. The first of our own Unitarian Universalist principles affirms the inherent worth and dignity of every person. If we are to truly uphold that principle, that all people are inherently worthy, then we will practice right speech. When it comes to gossip, we will hold our tongues instead of wagging them, lest we hurt one another. And besides, as it was so succinctly put by the writer Edward Hoch, there is so much good in the worst of us and so much bad in the best of us that it hardly behooves any of us to talk about the rest of us. May we never have to try to gather up the scattered feathers of our malicious words.